Christian armor, we find the word armor as far as in the epistles three different times. In Romans chapter 13, verse 12, we just read, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and put on the, and here's the phrase, the armor of light. And then probably next week, we'll take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 7. And we read this verse, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. So in Romans 13, we see that that the armor of the Christian is referred to as armor of light. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 7, the armor of righteousness. And then, of course, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Verse 11, then again in verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. So we're going to break these down and look at them individually. We have the Christian armor. It's called the armor of light, Romans 13, and 2 Corinthians 6, the armor of righteousness, and twice in Ephesians 6, the armor of God. And so we're going to take a look at these things and begin to talk about, lay some groundwork, and then eventually we're going to break down each individual piece of the armor of God. Romans chapter 13 will introduce the armor of light. And there's several things in this portion of scripture that I think will help us as we get our minds around this, the idea of this. And we're going to look through and teach through this portion of scripture. So you'll be fine for the most part, stay there. We may go to one other portion of scripture. Romans 13, the armor of light. There's several things we learn. Number one, the time to armor up. What is the time to armor up? Verse number 11 answers that question. High time is armor up time. And the Bible says, in that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. So what time exactly is that talking about? For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Verse 12, the night is far spent. The day is at hand. Which day is that talking about? That's talking about the day of the Lord. It's talking about the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. So what the Bible is saying here is the nearer that we get to that time, the more important it's going to become to make sure that we're very diligent in wearing the armor of God. In the last days, I believe we could say this, it is more important that we armor up. Now, why would that be true? Well, Ephesians chapter 6, I already read these verses, but notice, I believe as Christ, the coming of Christ nears, there is going to be an increase in demonic activity and satanic deceptions and attacks. And I think just as we've seen the first time Christ came, folks, just read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Seems like everywhere Jesus went, he was running into somebody that was being demonically controlled, was demonically oppressed or demonically possessed. He spent a good deal of his time just freeing people from these heightened demonic attacks. And we see the same thing that we're dealing with here today. I believe the devil is, I've said it several times, but I feel like someone's kicked the lid off of the pit of hell, and the spirit of Antichrist has just come out in a flood over the last couple of years, and we're watching it increase at a pace that's almost unbelievable. I mean, folks, for a Christian person with a Bible-based view of life, you cannot hardly from day to day imagine the stories and the headlines and the things that are being pushed upon Americans that we're just supposed to bobblehead and treat as if they're normal. They're not normal. And you know what? If the Bible's against it, America ought to be against it, and for sure Christians ought to be against it. We can't let off on these things. So as we see the increase of demonic activity and satanic deception, I use the word deception because remember what it said, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We'll teach more on that when we get into Ephesians chapter 6. He said, you better have the armor on because the devil's going to get slicker. He's gonna make it easier for you to compromise. He's going to make it easier for you to give in. It's going to be easier for you to surrender ground. You better put the armor on because, folks, I believe in the closing days, we are in for spiritual warfare like we've never seen before. There's always been a war raging, But I think it's going to reach heights that I think at this point in time, if I was to mark this spot right now and me saying this and then come back to this spot even 12 months from now, I believe we'll look back and say, preacher, well, you said that and you couldn't have even imagined what the devil still had ready to unleash. And so what are we going to do? You know, dig a hole, go hide, curl up in a fetal position. You know, what are we going to do? We better put on the armor of God. And so the time to armor up is now. I want to say this one more time. Maybe up to this point in your Christian life, you've been able to get by with being somewhat sloppy in not wearing all the armor of God. And you've been able to get by with maybe being slack in this area of not being diligent. Listen, that time's over. Listen to your preacher. It's getting real. And you can't afford to go out of your house any day with leaving off even one piece of the armor of God. When we get to the very end of this study, I'm going to give you something that you can do in a few minutes every single morning as part of your morning devotions that'll help you to make sure that you have on the armor of God. So it says here the time to armor up. Then next we learn about the hindrances to armoring up. What stands in the way? Say, preacher, you're saying a lot of Christians have been sloppy or slack in this. Some of them aren't wearing any of it at all. And so what is the problem here? Well, look at verse number 11 and let me say this. You cannot wear armor and your PJs at the same time. You cannot wear armor and your PJs at the same time. Notice what the Bible says in that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to what? Awake out of sleep. Now, folks, boy, I'm going to tell you, I keep this nest stirred up. I keep it stirred up. You know, ever been getting in a real deep sleep? Have you ever just gotten into deep sleep and then had somebody come in and start making a bunch of noise? And you know what? You're going to be in a bad mood. You're going to be in a bad mood. Or they come in and flip the light on. And that's going to make you, that's going to put you in a bad mood. Can I tell you kind of what my job is? Come in and make a bunch of noise and flip the light on. And you know what? A good preacher is just not going to let the church fall asleep spiritually. We can't afford to fall asleep spiritually. We can't. And I know I refer to these things, but I want to keep saying, I want our kids having this in their hearts. But boy, that parable about the 10 virgins just haunts this preacher, you know. Yeah, 5 had oil and 5 didn't. But you know what? When the master came, the Bible says that while he tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And I just think, man alive, we've got to, as preachers, we've got to keep blowing the trumpet. We've got to just set an alarm clock every Sunday morning and let it ring. And I mean one of those old-fashioned double bell ones, you know, and just let it clatter and ring and clatter and ring. And if you're asleep spiritually, it's going to annoy you. Okay, if you're asleep spiritually, then I'm going to flip all the lights on. I'd rather you grumble a little bit till you get awake and then be awake than I would have you asleep at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you can't wear your armor and your PJs, verse number 11. By the way, you cannot wear armor until you cast off the works of darkness. Now let's get down to where we live. We're going to talk about putting on the armor of God, but it's good that we cover these portions of Scripture because I could go right to the armor of God and start explaining the pieces and then giving you, I think, a way and an exercise, something that you can do every morning to put it on. But you know what? You better, listen, you can't have them on in your PJs and you can't have them on without casting off the works of darkness. That's what the Bible says in verse 12. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. You know why a lot of Christians aren't putting on the armor? Because they have on something else instead. And you can't fit the armor over what they're wearing, what they have in their lives. And what is that? It's called the works of darkness. So we have to cast off. That's the cast off before we put on. Cast off, the Bible says, the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. And notice the cast off comes before the put on. Now, what does that mean? Well, let's not speculate. It's always wonderful when you can let the Bible explain the Bible. So if you will, go to Ephesians chapter 5. Mark your place in Romans because we'll be back there. But Ephesians chapter 5, we have listed for us what God considers or refers to the works of darkness. We don't have to guess about it. It's nice when God just gives us a list and said, hey, If these things are in your life, then you're not going to be able to put the armor of God on. Folks, listen, it's time to wake up, but it's also time to clean up. It's time to put off. It's time to clean up. Again, it's getting serious. Compromise, I believe, is restricting and has infected the Christian army. And so let's take a look and let's just double check, folks. Ephesians chapter 5, if you will, look at verse number 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Walk in love. Oh, let's do that, folks. As Christ also had loved us and given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. I didn't include this, but as I was doing the study on this matter of darkness, you know, one of the things that we read about in 1 John is the fact the Bible says, if you hate your brother, you live in darkness and not in light. It's interesting how the Bible always reinforces itself before it goes into this list of sins that might be in our body or in our lives. The Bible says that it first addresses this matter of walking in love. Walk in love as Christ also loved us and hath given himself for us. Go to 1 John. Maybe I'll hit on that next week a little bit. But you can read specifically where God says, if you hate your brother, you are in darkness, not in light. Let's just make sure. Listen, this isn't time for the Lord, for the devil to be able to spread division. We shouldn't allow that. We shouldn't allow bitterness in our hearts towards each other. We should not allow an unforgiving spirit within the congregation or even outside the congregation. If there's a Christian brother or sister, you know what? I've always said, I don't care who they are. I don't care where I run into them at. They may not want to talk to me. They may carry an ought of some kind. But I'm telling you, I'm not going to carry those things in my heart. I'm just not going to carry the. I can't always control how other people respond to me. But I can control how I feel and how I respond to them. And what we do is we've got to be careful. So let's just make sure we love each other. But then the Bible gets down into this list. And by the way, let me have you kind of look down, if you will, verse number 11, and then we'll come back up to verse number 3. But notice this, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, for it is a shame to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Now, we're going to be reading this list now, beginning in verse number 3, but these things that are listed are identified at the end of this passage in verse 11 as the unfruitful works of darkness. These things are horrible for a lot of reasons, but one of the main things is it will prevent you from producing fruit for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we see in verse number 3, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saint. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. And all of these words, all of these folks, it's Sunday night, we have the children here, and if you want more specific teaching on this, the last couple of Sunday mornings in our adult class, I've covered the idea of the spirit of Antichrist. And what is the spirit of Antichrist? Well, there's a lot of things that it is. The spirit of Antichrist is a spirit of selfishness, a spirit of compromise. But in the last couple of weeks, we've said it's a spirit of uncleanness. And folks, these are a list of things that are sins of the flesh. These are moral sins. You say, well, it says covetous. Study that word. It's talked about covetousness in light or with the idea of a man coveting another man's wife or a wife coveting another man's husband, coveting somebody or something that doesn't belong to you. And one of the things we cannot, men, please listen to me. We cannot let off on this. Your preacher can't say enough about it. We have to walk guard around our lives. We have to walk guard around, guard our eye gates. We've got to be careful with this technology. We've got to be careful with what you have access to. You can't, young men, you can't let yourself allow yourself any leniency, nor you young ladies. You just can't do it. You begin to let these sins of the flesh creep into your life. And the next thing you know what? The armor won't fit. It's armor of light. It's armor of righteousness. It's armor of God. You're not going to slide that over a filthy life and a sinful life. Moral purity is under attack like it's never been under attack. Bible says at the end of that, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. And it says in 2 Corinthians, we get into this where the Lord, where the Bible tells us, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? Now, folks, if the works of darkness are these sins, I'm talking about young people that aren't married but are promiscuous. I'm talking about people that are married but are unfaithful to their husband or wife. I'm talking about people who are unmarried but living together. I'm talking about people that used to be married. Now they're not living morally right. Listen, all of morality is defined through the divine institute of marriage. Before marriage, during marriage, after marriage, there's a right way to act in all of those situations, a biblical way to act. And when the Bible talks about having no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, the Bible talks about that old leaven and needing to purge it out because, you know what, there's a list of sins here, but yet not altogether with fornicators of, the Bible says, I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world or with the covetous or extortioners or with idolaters. For then you must needs go out of the world. But now I've written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother. By the way, just because somebody's called a brother don't mean they are a brother. And you know what? I get this, but the Bible is very specific when it talks about who will inherit the kingdom of God and who will not. And I've watched Christian people. There's one thing to mess up in this area. David, I have no doubt, was a child of God and he messed up in this area. There's a difference between messing up in this area and giving over to a lifestyle of this and then want to walk around and talk about how you're saved. The Bible says when people have given over to this as a lifestyle, yeah, but preacher, they're Christians. Based on what? How do you know that? The Bible says by your fruits you shall know them. By your fruits, they can do this and it doesn't bother them. Matter of fact, they defend it. They mock people who condemn it. Mock churches that preach against it, then you know what? You might want to just think that maybe the reason I'm not supposed to be spending time with them and keeping company with them is because of the influence, the leaven. Listen, they're bringing that around your kids. They're bringing it out around your grandkids. And you got to choose what you're going to invite in your home, and I'm going to choose what I'm going to invite in my home. That's your circle, and that's my circle. But I'm giving you King James Holy Bible here. And the more time you spend around it, watch this, the more normal it will become to you. Okay, because you know what? You get to know these people on a personal level. They come in and they love everybody. They give everybody a hug and they're funny and they tell jokes and they're fun to be around and they bring the kids gifts. And pretty soon they walk out going, well, you know what the preacher said, but they're not bad people. Come on. They're not bad people. That's why God says that. That leaven, be careful. I understand we all got to judge what to do and what not to do. I understand, say, preacher, man alive, how would I even go to a family reunion? Well, I think once a year going to a family reunion is not the same thing as keeping company. Study that little phrase out. I think it's the people that you normally regularly spend time with and allow to have influence in your family's life. Listen, we've got sins, those type of sins on my side of the family, on Cheryl's side of the family. You got them on both sides of your family. It's part of what's out in this world right here. But and listen, that doesn't mean we don't love them. We don't pray for them. It doesn't mean that we never go see them or allow us to come see us. But as far as keeping company and letting them have undue influence in the lives of your other children or in the lives of your grandchildren, you better draw some lines, folks. Why? Because the Bible said, why? Because we hate everybody. That's why. No. That's what the world wants to say. That's what the perverts want to say. Okay? They want to make us bad. Okay? So they break the laws of God and then rush over and jump in the seat of judgment and then want to hold court on whether we're good or bad on how we respond to it. I think what they ought to do is, you know what? They might want to hoe out their own tater patch. I think they better be worried about their day to stand before God. But this is King James Holy Bible. What I'm telling you is this. I believe the more time that we're spending around people and it's creeping into our homes and we're spending time in their company and we get, or it becomes more normal to us, less offensive to us. But it's no, listen, it's no less offensive to God. No less offensive to God. And so the time to armor up, closer we get. Say, preacher, when's Jesus coming back? I don't know, but I do know this about the day. Okay, today we're one day closer than we were yesterday. And tomorrow will be one day closer than we are today if Jesus don't come before the day is over. So there you go. The closer we get, man alive, let's get that armor on. And then the hindrances, be careful that you don't allow yourself to fall asleep. Be careful that you spend time casting off those works of darkness. Let me give you the closing point. When you armor up, choose the armor of light. Make sure you're putting on the right armor. This armor, by the way, let me just say this, must be put on. If we look at the, again, back to Romans chapter 13, if you want to flip back over there, the Bible says, let us cast off, verse number 12, let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. You know, I preached this morning on the idea and gave hopefully an understandable way to see the difference between what God is willing to do for us at times and God is willing to reach down and pick us up at times. But you know, I think so many times we're just putting everything on God. And there's a lot that the Bible puts on us. And you know, you're not going to find when it comes to the armor of God where God's going to put it on for you. Okay? I lift up my soul. That was the name of the message this morning. David said, that's something I do. I lift myself to God. And that pleases the Lord when he sees effort on my part. When it comes to having the armor of God, it's something that you're going to have to put on. Okay, now if you don't have that in your schedule, you think it just automatically falls on you as you're walking through the house getting ready to leave? Or is this something that you ought to do every day of your life as a conscious thing, the same way you would get dressed, the same way you put your socks on and your shoes on? You know what? You take the time to put on what you're going to wear that day. And if you don't take the time to put on the armor of God, there's a good chance you don't have it on. You don't have it on. And so the Bible says, first of all, this armor must be put on. And then I want you to notice what the verses go into right away, right after that. Verse 12, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Period. Now what's it speak of next? Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. And the Bible here is teaching us and warning us on this idea of, listen, when you put on the armor of light, it's so important that you understand that once you are wearing that armor, you need to walk honestly. You see, I believe that honesty is important in order to properly wear the armor. We're going to see it connected in all three of these portions of Scripture where we see the armor of light, the armor of righteousness, and the armor of God. Somewhere in there, you're going to see honesty. Folks, the Bible talks about this idea when we get down to the specific parts about your loins being girt about with what? Truth. And I will tell you, listen, think about this. The Bible says that the devil is a liar. But he didn't just stop there. Jesus said he's not just a liar. He's a father of all lies. And I've often said that I believe, young people, please listen to me. There's a lot of different ways you can open up doors to satanic influence in your life. And, you know, you've heard preachers come in and preach on spiritual warfare. And you've heard them talk about, you know, the dangers of playing with the Ouija board and tarot cards. And don't watch Harry Potter, you know. But I don't think that's the way the average kid begins to open up the very first satanic doors. And I'm not trying to be ugly or gross. I'm going to explain what Jesus said in a way that you'll understand it. And those of you who understand will protect the kids. But think about this. There's no way in the world that the devil could be the father of all lies, the father of lies, unless we have some interaction with the devil in order to produce the lie. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm talking about biology class. This idea of lying, this idea of a little white lie, this idea of just, you know, embellishing things a little bit, or telling the truth but not the whole truth, holding back on things, always reweaving the story to benefit you. Come on, kids, conveniently leaving out this thing. Mom asks you something, you give her a partial truth. Listen, a partial truth is a lie. You give her an embellished truth is a lie. Listen, I'm telling you, we'll get this when we get to that portion of the armor of God, and we're gonna tell you. But one of the ways that I believe people begin to open satanic doors into their life is by interacting with the devil to produce lies. That's why God said, when you put on that armor of light, what's he say next? You walk honestly. Now, I'm going to give you this today, and this is what I want you to work on this week. Say, preacher, I don't want to just sit here and go through another series of sermons and hear about this, and in 3 months, not change anything and not be this, just be the same Christian I am today, living a struggling, defeated Christian life. Then let's get real. What can you work on this week to make sure that we can start getting that armor on when we start talking about the pieces? Now, every young person, I want you to listen to me. Every child, I want you to listen to me. You need to be honest. You need to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. You need to not live a life of deception. You shouldn't there's the church you, and then there's the fake you. There's what you tell your parents, and then there's what they don't know about. There ought to be transparency between husbands and wives, transparencies between when children to their parents. When you're asked a question, I want you to slow down. Come on, let's work on it this week. Let's get back to allowing the Holy Spirit to convict us if we do not speak the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. Okay, if you had 22 on your bus this week, don't tell someone you had 24. I mean, it's just little things. And all that is just based in pride. You know, always hedging the numbers, always saying, you know, something a little bit bigger, a little bit better than it really was, to make us look a little bit bigger and a little better than we really are. And it may seem like a little thing. Parents, I want you to go on high alert. Have some of your children already become habitual liars? I mean, how many times are they telling you something and then you find out later that that wasn't the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? And if you don't treat that as a, come on, you need to make that one of the premier crimes that could be committed in your house. I mean, come on, we were raised old school. A lot of you my age was raised old school. And thank God even a lot of you younger ones, thank God, were raised old school. But if I messed up, the best thing I figured out pretty soon is just be honest with mom and dad about it. I was in 10 times as much trouble for lying as I was about whatever I could have done. And we need to amp this up again. Why? I'm trying to protect our young people. Okay, listen, I want you to get this. And I can see it on some of your faces. I wish some of you would watch yourself while I'm preaching. I'm looking up at the young people, you know. You want to try to put the poker face on, and you know right now you're living a life of lies. I mean, you lie almost every day of your life. It's just become a way of life with you. You tell whatever story you need to tell at the moment to get what you want or to impress whoever you're trying to impress. You have no idea how dangerous that is. And the armor will never fit on the body of a liar. It just won't fit. Won't work. Won't work. And so this is the assignment. Listen, if we're talking about the armor of light, then, and we're talking about this matter of honesty, then let's make sure we're honest. Now look, if you will, at the very last verse here. Boy, you talk about a concluding verse here. How serious is this? Verse number 14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. And when I read that, I thought to myself, wait a minute. There's two different things we're told to put on in this portion of Scripture. One is the armor of light, and one is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I felt like the Holy Spirit said, well, they're one and the same. As we talk about the different pieces, you remember this later on. When we talk about the very different pieces, could we just say it now? Every one of those pieces is an important character trait of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every one of those pieces reflect Christ on us and in us. And so how in the world can we put on Christ? Watch this. The devil is a liar and the father of all lies.
And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I really think that we as Christians, come on, we've just cut ourselves too much slack when it comes to this sin. It's because of our insecurities. It's because, I don't know, we just want to be thought of better than we are. I use a term when I'm dealing with the Lord and when I'm dealing with Christians that are struggling. I mean, you know what? You got to learn to be ugly honest. Sometimes honesty is just ugly. But you got to learn to be ugly honest. What does that mean? If it puts you in a bad light. You know, I kidding around, I went and seen Brother Brian before the service. I said, man, I didn't know you really turned a breaker on. I thought he was kidding when he said, I did it. I thought, oh, you know, this is what we do, we kid. I said, yeah, well, you know, of course, this is why we, you know, brought him into membership so we'd have somebody to blame for everything. Then later on, about, no, he really did it. He really did it. Can I say this? I love the fact that the minute I brought it, he said, I did it. You say, that's not a big deal. Why not? Well, if I'd have done that, man, a pastor could be upset. I'm going to make sure you don't find out I did it. That's your problem. That's your problem. You know, who broke this? Come on, kids, who broke this? Who left this out there? Who didn't put this away? And everybody's standing there in line going, wasn't me, wasn't me. Well, what? He's a stinking liar. You're a stinking liar. Why isn't it? Who left that out there? I did, Mom. Well, she's going to scold me. You know what? She's going to have more respect for you. She's going to have more respect for you for telling the truth. I'm not saying you might not get punished. I'm not saying you might get, hey, you might not be able to ride that bike you left out in the rain for a few days. But at least when you get back on it, there's not a liar riding your bike. And I think, you know, this whole thing of getting right with God and staying right with God all revolves around honesty. I first of all got to be honest with myself. Because, man, you'll lie to yourself before you lie to anybody else. And then I've got to be honest with God. And then I've got to take that honesty and extend it out to my brothers and sisters in Christ. And, hey, you know what? You're going to mess up, so am I. If you mess up, you mess up. Own it. Own it. Okay, don't rewrite history. Don't change the facts. Don't play the blame game. You know, Adam and Eve, you know. Adam wanted to blame Eve and Eve wanted to blame the serpent. It seems like that's been going on since then, you know. And why can't we just say, yeah, Lord, it was me. Yeah, I should have done that, you know. And so we're going to put on the armor. But folks, first of all, we've got to lay the groundwork. If we're going to put armor on, let's make sure it's the armor of light. Is that the same thing as the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, I'll let his words speak to you and then we'll pray. John 8:12, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Wow. Then in John 9:4-5, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, Jesus said this, I am the light of the world. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for meeting with us. Lord, we're going to go into a teaching and I believe teach a spiritual exercise that, Lord, can absolutely change our lives, can protect us in a way that we've not been protected, help us to win battles that we have not been able to win. So, Lord, I pray that you'll just help us, dear God. Here's the assignment, preacher, threw it out, drop the gauntlet. Why don't we, Lord, before you, just test this matter of honesty. Hold ourselves to strict account for the next 7 days. From this Sunday to next Sunday, may we not cut ourselves any slack in this. May we hold ourselves to account. Help us to be honest with ourselves. Christian that's constantly lying to themselves, they're not going to get anywhere. Always constantly lying before God, lying to the people in their lives. Bring conviction to us. Help there to be a genuine change, a shifting, dear God, as we prepare to be soldiers for you. We pray these things in Jesus' name.